Ai tēnā rā koutou katoa e tiwi, hakarongo mai nei ki tō tātou reo irirangi o Tihiko Tika, iwa tukou māwhitu, iratahi te iarere. Ai, ko te kai kōrero e whaike nei, ko taku ta rāori tāone ki te kōru e pāna ki ngā tātauranga o te mate kōwhiori ki Waingai Tiwi Māori me ngā tangata Pasifika. No reira me tāuri ake tātou ki aia, tēnā koe, Dr. Rāori.
Kia ora, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, always appreciated, again, I hope you've had an awesome Christmas and an awesome New Year's, and we look forward to hearing the updates about how things have been rolling on and our current status with our COVID-19 throughout Aotearoa at the moment. So are you able to give us the latest update on the statistics for the Māori and Pasifika at the moment?
So, coming into Christmas with the Auckland border coming down, obviously people were concerned that there might be a large increase in Māori cases if holiday makers coming out of Auckland spread COVID into our communities, particularly our less vaccinated communities. And that's not really happened. And what's happened instead is that overall cases in the country have started declining, and so they're thinking about, you know, when we think about why that occurred, and probably one of the answers to that, is that the Māori community's been really motivated to protect itself, and so what we've seen is over the holiday period, Māori cases have dropped on average 30%, 31% each week since December the 6th. And when we look at what's happening with other ethnicities, particularly Pākehā, their overall cases have been dropping, but only at half the rate. So we're, 17%, and ours have declined at 31%. So that's been a really good effort from our communities. And what I think it comes down to is that the double vaccinated component of our community includes a lot of our leadership, and our leadership's been really good at protecting our communities from that spread from holiday makers. And one of the other things it means is that the number of Māori active cases since the beginning of December has dropped by 60%. And then if we look at what's happened with Pākehā cases, their cases have increased by 40%. And although it's good that across the country we've got a lower number of cases, Pākehā cases are now more often the highest cases each day. And, you know, that's really positive. Now, one of the other important facts that comes out of this is when we look at cases across the country, about 20% of the cases are now being made up of double vaccinated people, but in the Māori community, double vaccinated people only make up 8% of cases. And so the situation we've got to now in the new year is that our cases have reduced quite dramatically. Not yesterday, but the day before, there were only 2 Māori cases across the whole country, and that's good. Unfortunately, we would probably be in a mode of celebration in terms of the effort Māori vaccination providers have put in. And we should be, out there celebrating our lower numbers. But unfortunately, we've got Omicron here now, and that presents a significant threat to our community.
And so, yes, last year you were providing lots of updates that seen Māori leading the high case rates, and we have seen an awesome decline, which is a positive. Can you give us a little bit more detail around how Omicron presents more of a threat to us Māori?
Well, at one level, Omicron should be a pathway out of the pandemic. So what happens quite often in these situations, so like 1918 in the Spanish flu, is that the virus mutates and it may become more infectious, but it causes milder sickness. Now, that's the case. It does present a threat to communities that have low vaccination. So across the globe, we're seeing more than 2 million new cases a day, 13 million cases in 5 days this week so far. And initially, we didn't see an increase in severe sickness and deaths, but that is starting to happen now. It's a lower level than before, but the concerning thing is that it's occurring in, firstly, low vaccinated communities, but then also in those very vulnerable communities, you know, that live in poorer areas, more overcrowded housing and those sorts of things. And so that's that means Māori, because our vaccination rates are about 10 to 13% lower than for Pākehā. That means we're quite vulnerable and we live in those kind of situations and have comorbidities. One of the other concerns that we can have there as well is for our younger people. So just at the moment, our younger people, so under 12-year-olds who haven't been eligible for the vaccination yet, they make up 12% of Māori hospitalisations, and that's more than double the rate for other ethnicities. And, you know, we've got the 5 to 11-year-old vaccination rollout coming up. So we need to really work hard on that before Omicron crosses into the community. Officially, we have about 200 Omicron cases in MIQ. Now, most breaches of MIQ into the community have occurred when we were managing more than 30 border cases in the MIQ, but we've got just under 300 at the moment, and probably 200 of them are Omicron cases. So the risk of a breach sooner rather than later, that's almost certain to happen.
Mm. Also, I just want to go back to the sharing of data and information. Throughout last year, you also mentioned the difference between the information provided by yourself and also the Ministry of Health at times, not giving a true picture of what our status was in regards to the death rates, in regards to how the cases were shared. Are you able to give us a little bit more kōrero around that?
Yeah, so that's a continuing issue, Joel. So I've been talking to the Ministry of Health over the last few days. Māori have the most deaths in this, in what began as the Delta outbreak. There have been 18 so far. During December, while we had the declining cases, Māori were 6 of 7 deaths that month, and several of those deaths were amongst younger people, you know, so one aged under 10, one in their 30s, and a few in their 40s. But one of the concerns is those deaths weren't reported in the same way as for other cases. So, for instance, a death might be announced, but the age and the ethnicity of the person who had passed away wasn't released. So there are actually 3 cases like that. Now, the Ministry of Health is saying that they wish, you know, this is about protecting the privacy of the families. And it is really important that we protect the privacy of families. But I guess the point is that releasing the age and the ethnicity of the person is not probably something that compromises the privacy of the family, because they're anonymous statistics. And they are statistics that communities need to know in terms of understanding how vulnerable they are. So at the moment, there have been 4 deaths this year, and only one death has been notified with the age of the person and the ethnicity. When a person passes away, the actual ethnicity is done in quite an anonymous way. It just becomes another number on a data sheet. It doesn't mean releasing the person's name or something like that. And medical people in the community that I've been speaking to believe that, well, at least two, if not all three, who have passed away are actually Māori cases. And what we think is because the Māori death rate has been climbing, that the ministry is becoming hypersensitive about that and withholding the information. There are more communications going and continuing discussions, and we just hope that improves. Mm-hmm. If there's just one other thing, another important statistic that's emerging now is we can compare the number of infections, hospitalisations and deaths, and that, say, comparing the Māori population with the Pākehā population to get a picture of how the pandemic has unfolded at the moment. And so I've done that for the Delta outbreak. And as we're talking here, a Māori person is 10.5 times more likely to become infected than a Pākehā person, 7.9 times more likely to be hospitalised, and unfortunately 9.2 times more likely to die. And one of the other grim statistics in that area is if we look at the 13 confirmed Māori deaths and compare that to number of hospitalisations, there's been a death for every 17.8 hospitalisations in the Māori community. And if we compare that to at the national level, the deaths are 22, one death in every 22 or 23 hospitalisations. So our communities have done a really good job in terms of keeping numbers down during the holiday period, but we need to not rest on our laurels with the threat of Omicron, keep doing what we're doing. Just going back to 1918, there were milder versions of the Spanish flu and an outbreak in 1919 and 1920. And in that very last outbreak, there were deaths, a much lower rate of death than in the original strains, the hyperinfectious and quite lethal strains. But in that last outbreak, Māori deaths were actually 20 times higher than Pākehā deaths. And that's the sting in the tail from what, in a sense is a good virus because it's hyperinfectious but not so lethal. But nevertheless, it can still be lethal in vulnerable communities, and that's the really big threat from Omicron to Māori.
Appreciate your time again for sharing all this important information and all the extra work that you put in to ensure that we are informed, we are getting the best information that we can to make the best decisions as possible. But for now, all the best for the rest of your day. Kia matara, kia ora.
Kia ora, Joel. Thank you for having me on. Matua hei kona. Kia ora.
Dr. Rāuri Tāonui, me wero o ngā kōrero, ngā tātauranga, pēhia rā te haere o te mate kōwhiori ki Wainga i tiwi Māori, me ngā tangata Pasifa ka huri no i Aotearoa mō tēnei wā. Mautonu mai ki tō tātou reo irirangi o Tihikotika, iwa te kaumāwhitu, ira tahi te iarere.